In my next two episodes, I talk with my friend, former Green Beret, Tu Lam. We talk about the situation in Afghanistan, the disaster of us pulling out, and what that means for China. This is not my typical content. If you want to see more content like this, I need you to go to iTunes, leave me a review, even if it's just one word. I need to know if you guys want this. With that being said, let's get on with it. Hey, how's it going, Tu? Good seeing you, man. Wish it was under better circumstances, but thanks for taking the call. And so kind of what we're doing here, we got Tu Lam here, former Green Beret, retired Green Beret. And me and Tu have been having a lot of offline conversations about what's going on in Afghanistan and maybe even more importantly than that, what that means for China now that we're leaving. And so we're just going to give our perspective. Some of these, we're going to do a little series here. Tu's going to put some videos on his YouTube channel, depending on how we wind up breaking this up to different subjects. And I'll be putting this on my YouTube channel, obviously. The version, if you're watching this on YouTube, this is the YouTube-friendly version. We're doing an uncut version over on Rumble. We're just able to talk about a little bit more in depth on what we would like to get out to both of our audiences on Rumble. And so if you're interested in the uncut version, it's over there, and I'll link it in top comment and in the description of this video. But anyways, we talked about doing this video and sharing some of our thoughts and concerns and what this means for China and for our country. I wish we could have done this a little sooner, but I think it's best that we waited a little bit and kind of gathered and collected our thoughts rather than done this on pure emotion. And so we got a little timeline here or a guideline of what we're going to do. And we're going to start with Afghanistan, kind of what that means with us pulling out, how the plan sucked, a little bit about the Taliban, what could have been done maybe a little bit better. And then in a separate video, we're going to move on to China, you know, and what that means for them and everything that's been happening in the past, year and a half? And even before it was the main topic of discussion here. So I'll let you kick it off with what just happened, you know, just a few days ago.
Yeah, man. First, I want to send out, you know, my prayers to, you know, our troops out there. May they come home safe, and, you know, God bless our Marines and corpsmen, their families. God bless them, and hopefully everybody comes back home safe, man. That's the biggest concern for me. Let's just talk about Afghanistan, man. You know, people don't understand why Afghanistan was such a key terrain in the global war. And when I say that is, you know, people think it was us going in and eliminating, you know, Osama bin Laden. And that was one of it. You know, he was the mastermind behind, you know, Al-Qaeda and being able to execute that, you know, be able to execute that attack on America. But for us to hold Afghanistan, you know, as a key terrain was key in the global war, and that's what people don't understand. And for the last 20 years, we've been fighting this war where we took the Taliban out of official government, and they've been hiding in caves up north. You know, now they're coming down, now they're in Kabul, and now they're establishing themselves as a government system. So that's a huge concern for me, because now, you know, other superpowers, when I say that is, you know, China, Russia, they're recognizing them as a government system, which is, you know, Shia law, which is, you know, it's not pleasant, man. You know what I mean? It's now you're recognized terrorism as a form of government, and that's going to echo throughout the world.
And we're negotiating with them. You know, there's a lot of speculation on when I hear kind of the left side's argument, and I read in the comments section, which I try not to do, but there's a lot of, well, we've been doing this for 20 years, and so what's the difference now with the decision making and the consequences that are happening? I think a lot of people don't understand what the difference is between what's happening right now and what has happened in the last 20 years. And while the last 20 years were far from perfect, they were definitely effective. And the major difference here is we're no longer on the offensive role. And when it comes to those Marines that just died, they died because of a major poor decision-making process. The poor decision-making process on how we pulled out and equipped Taliban with the best warfighting equipment in the world, and leaving people there, and now having to go back in and extract Americans and allied forces with one of the most well-equipped armies in the world now, with what we left behind. I mean, we were talking the other day on the phone, and they have, what, 200 helicopters now? Yeah. Blackhawks, Apaches.
Yeah. And, you know, and there was intelligence, you know, stating from the administration that they don't have, you know, the knowledge, the technical advances to even fly. Well, now they have videos of, you know, the Taliban flying these helicopters. It's happening, you know, and helicopters is one thing, but when you have over horizon strike capability, which is a drone, right? And they're known, there was intelligence that we left drones, that technology, and there was imagery of them tracking the Taliban disassembling these drones and then moving into the border of Pakistan. And we know that China runs Pakistan because they have that, you know, the highway Pakistan corridor, you know. So they're working with Pakistan, and Pakistan eventually is going to hand this over to China because China owns Pakistan. Pakistan's in debt to China.
Yeah, China owns, it seems to be, just about everything now, and whether you want to admit it or not, and we're going to get into that, you know, here shortly. But, you know, even some of the other equipment, I mean, just for those Marines that are in there now, I mean, before, and make no mistake, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS were all extremely effective fighting units. And one of the things that we're going to see now is when we left Iraq and the rise of ISIS happened, they were extremely well equipped. They had our armored vehicles. They had some of our weapons. Now what we have is not just armored vehicles, but they have our body armor, they have our guns, they have our IR lasers, they have our night vision, they have our rocket launchers, our javelins, our drones, our helicopters, our vehicles.
That's why we won the war, right? That's the element. Yeah. What kept us alive and what made us a superpower. Now they have that technology. And in China, you know, we always know anytime we went into China or operate around that region or dealing with the Chinese, we knew that, hey, we have to lock up this technology, right? Because the Chinese is all about getting that technology. And now they have the blueprint. They have the blueprint in their hands now, right? So that's a huge concern.
Yeah. And so you can imagine having to go in there and fight an already effective enemy now that is even just as capable as we are at this point. And they know the terrain.
And they're sending in. They're more funded than any other organization in the world now because they have, you know, obviously the interests of China and Russia.
And they don't have rules to play by.
They don't care about rules.
Yeah. Unfortunately, 50% of the population here in the U.S. does care about rules. But they're going to find out, you know, what it's like to not play by rules and what an enemy looks like as they start coming under, coming across the border. So,
I want to talk about Afghanistan, too, is that, you know, we had intelligence, man. We had eyes on in that region. You know, we had the capabilities of, and, you know, having operatives that we trained for years, you know, Afghani operatives. That meant that we had a human intelligence capability. We had a SIGINT capability there. We could find, fix, and locate these Taliban fighters. You know, we built this infrastructure that we just left behind, and we left these allies, you know, to fend for themselves now. And, you know, that's heartbreaking, but in return, you know, America should be concerned for our homeland security now, because we gave them a country now to train, well-funded and equipped with the modern day technologies in a region. We have no intelligence. We have no eyes. We have no human capabilities. That means we have no intelligence gathering capabilities, nor can we forward stage any offensive force within that region.
Yeah, which actually, since we're talking about that now, the latest drone strike that happened last night, how are they getting that intelligence? There is nobody left on the ground. Everybody is in escape and evasion mode now. And so who's running the assets? Where are they getting this information from? Do you think that was even a legitimate drone strike?
You know, I have my personal opinion, Sean, you know, and I just know that having worked at certain levels in the military, I know deception. You know, I know how we deceive our citizens to please them. So I have been a guy on the ground before doing that type of work. You have too. And we understand that we don't just strike that fast. And we can't gain intelligence off of a pred feed. We have to have a human source. We have to have a SIGINT source to find, fix, and locate the mastermind behind the planning. How can you strike a mastermind behind planning by following a pred feed or a drone feed, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We have to have a guy on the ground.
I'm very skeptical of any intelligence that's coming out of there at this point with the... I mean, we've turned everything over. You know, what we turned Bagram over, we turned Kandahar Air Base over. The only foothold that we seem to have at this point is Kabul Airport, which is, I mean, it's.
You know, and to me, it's like we, you know, any military planning at the special operations level, especially, is, you know, we have a primary, alternate, contingency, emergency plan. We have these plans that we fall into. We have contingency plans set in place. We have phase lines on how we shrink a force, right? And it's not, gosh, man, you said it perfect this morning. You said, it's like an active shooter scenario. Can you say that again to our viewers?
Yeah, you know, when people, there's a lot of, you know, controversy on, you know, oh, Trump was going to have us out May 1st. Yes, he was going to have us out May 1st, but he also had a plan to make that happen. And what happened now is we just yanked the rug out from under it. And essentially what happened, the best way I can think of to describe it to civilian types is, let's go back to let's say there's an active shooter in a school. You don't, and there's multiple active shooters. You don't. What we basically did is we went in and we pulled all of the teachers out and all of the police, you know, that are in the building. I don't know what you call them anymore, but the police that patrol the schools. We've pulled them out first, and we left the children there to die. And that's exactly what the current administration did in Afghanistan. They pulled They pulled the military out, the protection, the offensive and defensive forces out, and they left unarmed, helpless Americans and allies and Afghans, our counterparts, there to die with no protection. And we turned over all of our weapons to the Taliban, which took full advantage of it. And and then we asked our warfighters to go back in there with a fully equipped Taliban that has everything plus more, you know, than a lot of conventional units have, and said, go back in there and get these people, you know,
and no intelligence.
And now what we're seeing is we're seeing civilians, former Spec Ops guys that are going in there and saving these people on their own dime, risking their own lives. And that's civilians. Those are no longer active service members. And so what we're seeing is we're seeing a population that's beginning to take matters into their own hands, because whether the current administration is incompetent or under somebody else's control, I don't know. But you know, when he comes out and speaks to the audience and says, I've been instructed to, or I'm sorry, I have to go, I have another meeting, you're the supposedly the most important, most powerful human being on the planet. What meeting do you have that's more important than to address the American people? You know, and so I guess what I'm getting at is what you're seeing is you're seeing civilians starting to take matters into their own hands, and that can lead to a very scary place when the population has lost complete confidence and our leadership.
You kind of see a pattern here. You know, Hillary Clinton left our you know, troops, you know, in Libya to die, you know, when the annex got attacked. You know, you see the same administration with the same executions on, it's okay to leave our Americans to die, to defend for themselves after being ordered by our country, you know, to forward deploy under our orders, under his orders, you know, and the evacuation was not the issue. We knew we had to evacuate. But when do we ever evacuate 100% in any war? Right? We left our troops in Germany. We left our troops in Korea. We left our troops, you know, I mean, all through the world to stabilize that region and to gather intelligence, right? So we can't just strike an area. And, you know, having been one of the guys on the ground doing it before, I understand how long it takes to build that intelligence up. And you don't have that intelligence anymore because you don't have that infrastructure anymore. You don't have the ability to use the people, because we abandoned them now, you know, we withdrew. But that's going to echo in America because, you know, of the war, right? The war, the war within our country right now, you know, the divide within our country, with some waking up to what's going on, and some are supporting the new ideology of America. But the thing is this, man, you got to worry about your safety, because we've been at war for the last 20 years. The only thing that kept our country safe was our brave, you know, soldiers for deploying over in Afghanistan and in the Middle East to try to stabilize that region, because we saw the blueprints. Yeah. You know, in some of the raids, we saw the blueprints. They want to take us down in America. They have every plan to take us down in America. And then now we're negotiating with the Taliban, which is a declared terrorist group with the funding of China and Iran, Iran having nuclear capabilities.
You know,
it's really scary.
Back to the relationships too. These, I think most people don't understand where intelligence comes from and where all this information that leads us to terrorist leaders and different cells and across the globe, it comes from the 20 years of relationships that we've built with Afghanistan. Informants, sources, people that were being paid, bad guys that were being paid, that everybody, you know, that we were that was, it was a trade for information. And we developed these assets and these people that are giving us information over 20 years. Well, guess what? Because of the way that we pulled out, we just lost all confidence in any asset that we had flipped onto our side that was giving us intelligence. Now we have nothing. We have nothing. We've destroyed all of those relationships. And you know who's going to build those relationships now? China. Did China close the embassy when we pulled out? No. They were open for negotiations with Taliban.
Yes. They don't go by our rules, you see. I mean, the biggest enemy of democracy is communism. You know, we've been dealing with this since, you know, the after World War II. That's the rise of, you know, communism and democracy. Communism sides with socialism and dictatorship. Democracy's freedom and equal opportunity. But, you know, the thing is that when we start losing our allies, right, and we build, and the communism builds a stronger force, right, then the world is going to be dominated by communism, and we're going to lose our freedoms. And that's not just here, it's all of our allied forces. Like India, you know, that's bordered by Pakistan and, you know, China. They're, you know, us turning our backs in Afghanistan is a huge border security concern for them, you know, and we turn our back on our allies there too. You know, so we're losing our footing within that region as well. If Asia doesn't want to deal with us, we lose our footing with that region. Now we lost our footing military-wise, intelligence-wise, homeland security-wise in the Middle East. We don't have that anymore. So regardless if you are a supportive of Afghanistan or not, it doesn't matter. I understand we need to withdraw, but there's a way to withdraw, right? And unfortunately, that's going to hurt us in the near future.
I think so too.